Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
A Southern California resident by the name of Yao Ning Mike Sun pleaded guilty in a Los Angeles, California federal court on October 27th for acting as an agent of the Chinese Communist Party. Sun was arrested on December 19, 2024. Court documents showed that while he worked for a Southern Californian politician who was running for the city council in 2022, Sun was working as a foreign agent for China. He admitted he did not follow the required procedure of notifying the U.S. Department of Justice about this. The federal prosecutor said Sun coordinated with John Chen, another agent for the Chinese Communist Party. Chen was convicted of following CCP orders and acting against Falun Gong practitioners in the U.S. He was sentenced to a federal prison term of 20 months last year. Chen and Sun met on January 15, 2023, to discuss continuing the persecution of Falun Gong. Chen asked Sun to provide information about the Falun Gong practitioners who lived in California. When charges were brought against Sun, Akil Davis, assistant director in charge of the FBI's Los Angeles Bureau, wrote in his statement, "This case highlights the breadth of the PRC's relentless intelligence and malign influence activities targeting the United States."
Japan. During U.S. President Donald Trump's visit to Japan on October 28th, Falun Dafa practitioners held a two-day event in front of the National Diet Building in the Tokyo district of Nagatacho. Banners on display said, "Falun Dafa is good, stop the CCP's forced organ harvesting," and thanked the U.S. House of Representatives for passing the Falun Gong Protection Act. Call on Japan and other countries to follow. Practitioners talked to passersby about the CCP's 26-year brutal persecution of Falun Dafa in China, including the state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting. They also called on the Japanese government to enact legislation to protect practitioners' human rights, similar to that of the U.S. government, and to jointly end the persecution. Many passersby expressed support.
Australia. Various celebrations are held in Australia to welcome spring to the Southern Hemisphere. Falun Dafa practitioners took part in festivals held in four districts of the city of Sydney. The Chatswood Spring Celebration Parade was held in Sydney on September 6th. The Tian Guo Marching Band and the Waistrum Team participated. Practitioners demonstrated the exercises at their booth, distributed leaflets and shared information about a group practice site at Concord Plaza offering free exercise instruction. On September 6th, practitioners also participated in the 50th Spring Festival Parade in the Sydney suburb of St. Mary's. The Culture Vibes Festival took place on October 18th in the suburb of Randwick. Practitioners demonstrated the five Falun Dafa exercises and also performed graceful traditional Chinese dances on stage. In the northern Sydney suburb of Eastwood, the Granny Smith Festival was held on the same day. Practitioners were once again invited to participate. The event attracted over 90,000 spectators and featured a parade, rides, market stalls, food trucks, live performances, children's activities, and a grand fireworks finale.
Bulgaria. The 8th Hello Health Festival was held in Stara Zagora, known as the City of Linden Trees and Poets, on October 11th and 12th. Falun Dafa practitioners introduced their spiritual practice at the event. Their booth with its information stand and banners was located in a high traffic area. There was a continuous flow of attendees on both days. A small table at the booth displayed Bulgarian copies of the main text of the practice, Duan Falun and Falun Gong, along with other informational materials. Practitioners distributed flyers about the practice and the persecution, talked to people, and taught the exercises. A lotus flower making workshop helped children learn about truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. As they folded the origami, practitioners taught them the benefits of living according to these values by reading a children's book written by practitioners called A Lotus Tale.
USA. Falun Dafa practitioners participated in the 34th annual Ocean County Columbus Day Parade in Seaside Heights, New Jersey on October 19th. Their waist drum dance and lotus fairy dance brought traditional Chinese culture to the festival and won high praise. Grand Marshal Anthony Zerilli commented, "The drum beats are incredible. Their banner says truthfulness, compassion, tolerance. It's great." He was happy to see Falun Dafa practitioners enjoy freedom in the U.S. Miss Congeniality New Jersey senior Bernadette Jones said, "They are marvelous. I feel their beauty and colors. Look at their smiles."
Japan. The Falun Dafa waist drum team performed at multiple community events during the month of October. The 40th Mino Festival took place in Mino City on October 4th. This year's theme was spreading the smiles of Mino Festival to the world. Despite a light rain, the festival attracted a large crowd. Approximately 80 stalls lined Awara Park. At 3:30 p.m., the waist drum team took to the stage to perform joyful pieces that included Falun Dafa is Good. Falun Dafa practitioners participated in the celebrations in Kansai on October 14th and 19th. Their waist drum team performed on stage, and a banner reading Falun Dafa, a Qigong practice benefiting mind and body, was displayed. The waist drum team also participated in the 52nd Sakai Festival in Sakai City on October 19th. The festival featured a musketry performance, a futon daiko competition, the Sakai tea ceremony, stage performances, exhibitions, and food, as well as interactive activities that showcase Sakai's traditional culture. The Falun Dafa waist drum team from Kansai performed in front of the Sakai City Hall that day. Their powerful drumming drew warm applause.
Australia. Falun Gong practitioners from various parts of the country gathered outside Parliament House in the capital city of Canberra on October 28th for a peaceful rally. This was one in a series of activities held over 4 days in Canberra to expose organ harvesting and the escalating transnational repression by the CCP that targets government organizations, federal members, and the public. During the morning rush hour for several consecutive days, practitioners also displayed informative banners, demonstrated the 5 sets of exercises, and collected signatures in downtown Canberra to stop organ harvesting. Many practitioners, along with internationally renowned Canadian human rights lawyer David Matus, spoke at the rally. On the same day, a roundtable session was held in Parliament House that focused on transnational repression by the CCP. Matus and Professor Yuan Hong Bing, a former law professor in China, now residing in Australia, were guest speakers at the event. Matus called on the Australian government to start investigations into the CCP's transnational repression. Professor Yuan said that through systematic transnational repression, the CCP is attempting to control Chinese people overseas and turn them into tools for expanding its authoritarian rule. He also reminded Australian legislators not to sacrifice short-term economic benefits for the nation's fundamental benefits and security.
Sweden, the country's largest autumn health fair, Harmony Expo, was held in Solna, north of the capital city of Stockholm, on October 25th and 26th. Over 300 exhibitors from across Sweden showcased their health products and services. Practitioners were invited to participate and introduce Falun Dafa. Their gentle exercise demonstrations and the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance resonated with many visitors. Their booth was a peaceful oasis in the hustle and bustle. Many people asked about practice sites, while others learned the exercises during the event. When people learned of a free online Swedish language class taking place on November 20th, they enthusiastically signed up.
Spain. Practitioners introduced Falun Dafa at a market in Inca, a town on the Spanish island of Majorca, on October 18th and 19th. Many residents and tourists learned the benefits of practicing Falun Dafa, and some started to learn the exercises. People bought copies of Falun Dafa's main book, Duan Falun, and expressed strong interest in learning the exercises. A little boy came to learn the exercises just before the end of the activity. Happily surprised by his participation, his grandmother told practitioners, He never quiets down to do anything, but he meditated here for so long and doesn't want to leave. These exercises are amazing.
The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. A 74-year-old man in Yi County, Liaoning Province, was unable to recognize his own children when he was released after serving 7 years in prison for practicing Falun Gong. He died 4 days later, on October 21, 2025. Mr. Men Yulin took up Falun Gong in January 1997 and recovered from various ailments. His wife, Ms. Xin Guizhu, joined him in practicing Falun Gong and also regained her health. The couple was targeted for upholding their faith after the start of the persecution. Mr. Men was arrested in 2002 and was then frequently harassed at home. To avoid further persecution, he went into hiding. His wife died at an unknown time after being repeatedly persecuted. Mr. Men later returned home but was arrested again and later sentenced to a 7-year prison term. While the details of Mr. Men's prison abuse remain to be investigated, in just 2 years, at least 3 practitioners died under questionable circumstances at the prison. They are Mr. Lu Dianyuan, Mr. Dai Yongqi, and Mr. Yan Shuguang.
A wheelchair-bound woman in Yinchuan City died in June 2025 after suffering repeated persecution for her faith in Falun Gong. Ms. Wang Guoxia, 85, a retired post office official, developed severe depression in her 40s and also suffered physical ailments. Her condition worsened after her husband died of a heart attack in April 1993. A friend introduced her to Falun Gong and she soon regained her health. She felt joy in life again. After the Chinese Communist Party, or CCP, launched a nationwide campaign against Falun Gong in 1999, Ms. Wang held firm to her faith and was repeatedly targeted. She was harassed many times and arrested twice. Her health declined due to the relentless persecution. After taking a fall in August 2020, she developed paralysis and became wheelchair-bound. The police still harassed her from time to time until she passed away.
At least 43 Falun Gong practitioners in Shenyang City were arrested around the CCP's military parade that took place in Beijing on September 3, 2025. The CCP regularly targets Falun Gong practitioners around major events or anniversaries in order to prevent them from taking those opportunities to raise awareness about the persecution that has been going on for the past 26 years. According to insiders, the Liaoning Province Public Security Bureau directed the operation, with various police departments and police stations participating. The police wore civilian clothes during the arrests and raided the practitioners' homes without search warrants. 4 of the targeted practitioners were confirmed, including Ms. Gao Jingjie, 73, Ms. Yao Chunsha, in her 70s, Ms. Wang Lufan, 67, and Liu Yantao. The police had shadowed and monitored the 4 practitioners for months before arresting them.
Ms. Zhou Xuyin, 64, from Fujian Province, was recently sentenced to 3 years and 5 months because she practices Falun Gong. Ms. Zhuo, a former kindergarten teacher, was arrested last year after being spotted placing a letter thought to contain information about Falun Gong in a mail collection box. This is the 5th time Ms. Zhuo has been sentenced for practicing Falun Gong, totaling 17 and a half years. Her husband divorced her while she was serving her first prison sentence. Her brother, Mr. Zhuo, also a Falun Gong practitioner, has been incarcerated multiple times. In 2011, he was sentenced to 6 years in prison and was savagely beaten and was once hung up for 6 straight hours. One of his eyes became blind as a result of torture. After he was released in January 2017, he gradually went blind in the other eye. The sibling's mother passed away in 2015 while both of them were in prison.
Thank you. Australian radio station interviews David Mattis on the CCP's forced organ harvesting and transnational repression. Canadian human rights lawyer David Mattis was interviewed by well-known host of ABC Radio Brisbane, Steve Austin, on October 22nd. Mr. Mattis talked about his investigation into the CCP's state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting. He reminded Australians involved in organ transplants to pay attention to the issue, and he called on the Australian government to pass legislation to help stop the crimes against humanity. Mr. Mattis reported that multiple independent studies and reports from international organizations and media confirmed that the CCP continues to carry out forced organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners since it was first revealed in 2006. He mentioned the 2014 book on this issue by journalist Ethan Gutman called The Slaughter, and that in 2021 there was a joint claim from 12 United Nations human rights rapporteurs about these crimes. Also, an independent investigation by the China Tribunal produced a verdict in 2020 that the CCP carries out forced organ harvesting, mainly from Falun Gong practitioners. The CCP regime claimed that a voluntary organ donation system started in China in 2015, and it stopped using death row inmates for organs. Mr. Mattis referred to multiple investigative reports that the actual donation number is extremely low. He explained that it is because there is a cultural history in China that a person is supposed to be buried whole, and as a result, donations aren't a valid explanation for the large quantity of organs available for transplant in China. In June 2016, Mr. Mattis, David Kilgore, and Ethan Gutman issued an updated report, Bloody Harvest, The Slaughter, an Update, which included data from 15 hospitals in China, including Shanghai Renji Hospital, indicating that the number of transplants was tenfold higher than the official number. Mr. Mattis said the Renji Hospital in Shanghai listed the source of organs was from the military, but they actually came from prisoners of conscience. He stressed that the Chinese authorities have so far failed to allow external scrutiny or transparent oversight, which violates the World Health Organization principles of traceability, transparency, and openness to scrutiny in organ transplantation. It's reasonable to infer that the CCP's forced organ harvesting is still ongoing. Mr. Mattis said some countries have taken action regarding the CCP's forced organ harvesting. Canada and the UK have enacted legislation banning citizens from participating in cross-border organ transplantation. He mentioned that the UK passed an amendment to the Human Tissue Act in 2022 and enacted a regulation in 2024 requiring transplant nurses to report to the government their patients who were involved in transplant tourism. In addition, Europe has a treaty called the Council of Europe Convention Against Trafficking in Human Organs, and 15 countries have ratified it. Mr. Mattis attended the Transplant Nurses Association's annual conference held in Brisbane on October 23rd and 24th. He took the opportunity to brief the medical community on the 2018 Australian Parliament report called Compassion, Not Commerce, an Inquiry into Human Organ Trafficking and Organ Transplant Tourism. Mr. Mattis said that Australia has no controls on patients traveling abroad for organ transplants and no reporting requirements upon entry. He urged Australia to follow the lead of the UK in enacting legislation to collect information on patients participating in overseas organ transplant tourism.
U.S. politicians call on the White House to protect Falun Gong and safeguard the nation's founding principles. The Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation held the annual China Forum in Washington, D.C. on October 27th and 28th. Participants included experts, scholars, and policymakers in the economy, trades, foreign affairs, national security, human rights, and political development arenas. The purpose of the forum was to help Americans understand the nature of the CCP and key issues in U.S.-China relations. Former Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom, former U.S. Senator, and former Governor of Kansas, Samuel Brownback, addressed the China Forum on October 28th. He observed that the CCP invests billions of dollars a year to oppress religion, and that Falun Gong gets the worst of it. He said, "For China, religious freedom is an existential threat. For us, it's a foundational principle. You can't operate a free and open democracy without having religious freedom. We should stand up against what China is doing, and we should be doing it very clearly." Brownback continued, "And I think we should stand up for Falun Gong and the founder, Li Hongzhi, who lives in the United States now. I think people in the White House should meet with him and declare that they should have religious freedom." Brownback said that it should move from being just a human rights issue to a national security issue. Former U.S. Representative from Miami, Florida, Ileana Rose Lehtinen, was a key speaker at the forum. Rose Lehtinen served as a member of the House of Representatives from 1989 to 2019 and was the chair of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs from 2011 to 2013. She spoke about H.R. 343 that she and her Democratic colleagues co-sponsored and was passed in the House of Representatives in 2016. The bill called on the CCP to end the practice of organ harvesting from prisoners of conscience and end the then 17-year persecution of Falun Gong. She said, "When I was in Congress, I made it my mission that America's China policy be driven by our values, not by corporate profit margins." Rose Lehtinen pointed out that for too many years, people in the West felt that if they just engaged with China economically and brought it into the global trading system, the CCP would gradually liberalize and trade would lead to reform. "Well, we were wrong, dead wrong," she said. The CCP coerced other countries into being silent about its suppression of its critics in exchange for access to its vast markets. It plants disinformation to divide the United States and buys international organizations in an attempt to rewrite the rules. She said, "Let me be clear about what we're facing. The CCP isn't just another authoritarian regime keeping a lid on dissent within the borders. It's an expansionist force trying to remake the entire international order to suit its interests, where might makes right, where sovereignty means nothing, and where human rights are bargaining chips." When talking about confronting the CCP's challenges, she pointed out that Democrats and Republicans must maintain bipartisan unity, that they should use the Magnitsky Act to sanction every CCP official involved in genocide and persecuting religious believers. She urged the U.S. to stop investing in companies that build surveillance systems and exporting technology that help Beijing oppress its people. She also advocated help for dissidents, the brave souls inside China risking everything for a better future. She suggested, "Amplify their voices, defend their families, give them refuge when they escape, fund independent media that can break through the Great Firewall, and reach ordinary Chinese citizens with the truth about their government." She added, "We remember what this is really all about. It's not about the great power competition or economic rivalry. It's about human beings."
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.